Every year, the NSH Symposium Convention features a wide array of science and research, including impressive poster programs. The poster floor is a petri dish of new ideas, collaborations, and exchange of great information. I'm Linda McDonald, an NSH member, a science lover, and the NSH poster chair. During the 42nd annual NSH Symposium Conference, we were fortunate enough to sit down with many of our poster presenters to talk more about their work and the passion behind it. I am thrilled to bring you this series of podcasts and hope you will enjoy these and be inspired to submit your very own poster.
Hi, this is Kathy Dwyer, and I'm sitting with Nicholas Wallingford talking about his poster, P35, Preparation of the Rat Outer, Middle, and Inner Ear for the Histological Assessment. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Good morning. That's a long title.
It is a long title. Is this your first poster?
It is my first poster at an NSH meeting, yes.
Okay, but you've done...
I have done posters in the past for other societies.
Okay, and you're from Pfizer? Okay, glad to have you. How would you describe your level of poster presentation knowledge?
I would say it's fairly advanced. As I said, I've presented posters in the past at obesity meetings, actually. I used to work in the metabolic field. Now I'm working in drug research, safety research for Pfizer Pharmaceuticals.
What is this topic? Why is this topic important to you and worthy of your time as a researcher?
So actually, I don't think many people know that hearing impairment and balance disorders are very high in terms of the number of people who have them. It's a concern. It's just below arthritis and heart disease, actually, as far as how many people it inflicts. And there are no current treatments for hearing impairment. That there are surgical options, but there are no actual treatments. And so as someone who works in drug safety, there's no protocols for any potential treatments that might be developed to determine whether or not they're actually having any sort of autotoxic effects. And actually, things like chemotherapy, for example, we know have autotoxic effects. Or in other words, they're toxic to parts of the inner ear that are responsible, the sensory organs for hearing and balance. So it's something that there's a need for us to develop therapeutics for that. And then that means there's a need for us to understand the safety profiles of those particular drugs. And so the poster addresses how we go about actually, from a histological point of view, furthering that process along. Mm-hmm.
So how long did it take you to develop this poster?
So the poster itself took several months from the research itself down through the writing of the poster. Mm-hmm. But the actual work itself in the lab was months.
Okay. When folks are looking at your posters on the wall over there, what do you want them to see, take away from it?
So again, hopefully that they'll, beyond the fact that this is a very specific approach to a particular organ, the ones in your inner ear, they're very small, they're seemingly delicate, but they're actually encapsulated in a bony matrix, which makes them difficult to get to slide without producing any artifact. And so there are decalcification methods in order to soften that bone in general to get bony structures on the slides. But for the inner ear, it's a little more of a challenge because of how deep they are in the ear and how small they are. So from one level, just to see that we developed a method with the use of microwave technology and decalcification where we have successfully been able to put these tissues on a slide that are able to be read with a high level of integrity for histological assessment. But just from my own point of view, the structure of the ear itself, it's fascinating. I mean, you obviously have an ear canal, and that's about as far as most people can see. With something like your eyes or your hands, they're much more tangible. They're right there in front of you.
Visible.
Right there. But with the structures in the inner ear, literally beyond the tympanic membrane or the drum in your ear, there's three little bones, and each one of those bones vibrates the bone next to it, which amplifies sound. That's all received by an organ called the cochlea, which is the area of most interest in my poster in regard to trying to get it on the slide. And the process of sound waves going from outside your ear, vibrating these bones, amplifying sound, being received by a hearing organ, and then that being transmitted into a nerve impulse. It's just fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so much needed for this. Were there any surprises when you were doing your research that that kind of baffled you? Or
actually, yes. Yeah. So the reason that we chose two specific decalcification agents that are widely used, they're used in our lab, one of which is EDCA, which is a calcium chelator, so it sort of sequesters the calcium away, and it takes a long period of time to do that, but it's a very widely accepted, good, efficient solution for accomplishing that. Our lab also uses something called Calrite, which is a commercially available decalcification agent, and it not only contains, in this particular case, as opposed to a chelator, it's an acid, so it dissolves, for lack of a better word, and it also, this particular agent has fixative in it as well, formalin, so it helps along with the fixation process as well. But what was surprising is that from the work that we did, we found that EDTA with the microwave technology was not very effective as a decalcification agent, at least not in the time period that Calrite was. And that was the main purpose of this, is if drugs are developed for the purpose of, well, it could be for any purpose, that might have autotoxic effects, and we need to look at that and get that onto a slide, we need to do that in a reasonable amount of time. And decaling bones at room temperature can take weeks. And in this particular case, we found that with Calrite, we were able to, specimens with a high degree of integrity, and were able to be read by a pathologist in as little as 12 hours. So that's an incredible shortening of that duration of time, which mm-hmm. expedites everything further down the chain as well.
So you feel that now you're going to use the Calrite instead of the EDTA?
For this particular purpose,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, very good. When someone walks away from your poster, what are the 3 to 5 words that they should think about?
That's tough. Those aren't 2 of the 5 words. Something along the lines of, in a broad sense, science is amazing. Again, from just the standpoint of, I can't do anything in 5 words, sorry.
That's all right.
Just from the point of view, of, as I said, just the mechanisms that allow you to hear, they're fascinating, as are mechanisms for all of your senses and just the way that your body works in general. But I guess on a more specific tangent in regard to the poster itself, something along the lines of microwave technology and how it has allowed us, and technology in general, that has allowed us to perform something that might have been standardized in a different way in the past, much more efficiently, much more quickly.
Good, very good. If you had to do a follow-up project, what would that be?
So, we could potentially, I've only looked at 2 specific decalcification agents, so obviously one route could be to look at another. Maybe there's one that could actually speed things up even more. We set the microwave processors at a specific temperature, 37 degrees. That's a pretty standard temperature. Mm-hmm. We could potentially alter that. We're pretty happy with the results for now. And obviously, if studies come down the pipeline where this proves to be a necessary protocol to use, we'll have one in place. And that's what we were looking for, because there aren't any specific protocols for this particular organ system.
What are the 2 to 3 major tips that you would share with someone if they're considering doing a poster?
Okay. Patience. Be patient. Try not to focus on the end goal. Focus on the process. Focus on why you're doing what you're doing. Obviously, you have a goal in mind. You have a hypothesis, potentially, that you're trying to dispute or you're trying to support. But think about why you're looking at it. In this case, there's a patient at the end. There's a patient down the line that's the whole purpose of this.
It's going to benefit that patient.
Correct. So I think those are important things to keep in mind beyond just the structure of I have to do this experiment, write this down. Focus on the end goal, which is hopefully helping another fellow human.
Thank you, Nick, for talking with us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay. Thank you for listening to this episode of the 2016 NSH Poster Presenter Series. We hope you enjoyed this interview and will share it with others. Visit www.histoconvention.org to learn how you can present at 43rd NSH Symposium and Convention.